This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Politicians, policy, and what's happening in Parliament. It's our politics professional on Joy Drive.
As we approach the final stretch of the 2025 federal election campaign, early voting is underway and the political landscape is buzzing with activity. Well, almost buzzing. From heated leaders' debates to policy announcements and discussions, there's a lot to unpack. Joining us live from Canberra is Noah Seckham, political reporter at Radio National News, to provide insights into the latest developments. Welcome, Noah.
Thanks for having me, Latham.
Great to be speaking with you. I've heard your segments quite a bit as I've been editing the podcast over the last few weeks, so I'm very excited about this conversation. Early voting has commenced and reports indicate a significant number of Australians have already cast their ballots. How's this affecting the election and are there any concerns about this?
Well, it is quite a funny shift that we're seeing year on year across state and federal elections and even overseas in similar democracies to ours, that everyone's very keen to get their voting out of the way. There isn't necessarily this traditional nostalgia to specifically vote on election day, which for us this year is the 3rd of May. So already over 1 million people have voted before the election, which is absurdly high compared to even last time. So the first day of polling, pre-polling, we saw 500,000 people vote, which is up 70% to 2022. So the real issue that this sort of poses for the major parties is that means 1 million people have already made up their minds that means that the next week and a half is not exactly as impactful as they might hope it could be. So they really need to make sure they've actually got all of their campaigning pretty much done by the time we got to Easter, which is arguable as to whether or not that's actually happened. We're still getting some rather major announcements today and yesterday, but already we're seeing people switching off from the election campaign now, just waiting for the results.
Do we know anything about these kinds of people who vote early? Is it because they've made up their minds early, or is it because they just want to get out of the way? They're just not interested in politics at all, and it's like, this is just a tick and flick, I'm getting it done. Do we know much about that?
I mean, a lot of it is kind of broadly based on vibes. And typically, I mean, we have seen in the past ABC's key election figure, Anthony Green, has said that typically pre-polling and postal votes can be more conservative. Okay. And anecdotally, volunteers are saying that they are leaning more towards the Liberal coalition. Whether or not that's actually what we're going to see this time around is up for debate. I think it's also a mixture of people that are, you know, not going to be in the country, not going to be in their home electorate. Even I've early voted today because I'm not going to be in Canberra for much longer. So it's a lot of practicality. And also people are sick of having to, you know, use a Saturday to go and stand around for a while to go vote. So you've even got people on their lunch break. We've got retirees getting out early. It's a weird mix of people. And I think it's increasingly difficult to say who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I must admit, I know that I've snuck away during my work day just to go vote previously because, you know, why don't work can pay for my time to go and vote rather than me having to give up a Saturday?
That's the spirit. That's
so democratic of me. So this week we also had the third leaders debate. Has that had any impact on the election? What's going on around Canberra in relation to that? Has it shifted the dynamics?
I mean, it's from the journalist's perspective, there are a few stories that come around every year or election that you can almost pre-write ahead of time. And one of them, I think we're increasingly seeing, is debates. We know exactly what they're going to talk about. We know largely how it's going to end up because we aren't really seeing any sort of major swings towards either leader in terms of these debates. They're not really shifting the dial. A lot of people that are coming into them are leaving exactly how they were. So the big shakeup from the most recent one was that Dutton was declared the winner, but only just. And the consensus across the sort of press gallery here is neither of them really did anything wonderfully new. There was a little bit of contention around, the idea that Albo's lying, that Dutton's lying, and they were able to kind of face off on that for a little bit, but it didn't necessarily throw up anything too surprising or new. And again, it happened after the first day of early voting. So they'd already missed out on 500,000 people to influence. Yep. And whether or not enough people tune in to see these things to actually change their vote at all, I don't know if we can really tell. But
is
we'll
it kind
see.
Of the, is the message no longer about being inspiring? It's about not stuffing up. That's kind of what I'm gauging from these leaders' debates. Don't make a mistake.
And I think that's where the disappointment comes from in the two-party system, is that there's this fear of doing anything too wild in either direction, that you're either not going to do anything that could lose votes or because you don't want to do anything too risky. So a lot of people that are getting disillusioned with Labor and are moving further left are doing so because they're wanting to see more action, something more dramatic, someone to actually do something. And there's all this talk about, we need major reforms to how tax works, but we haven't seen anything rather huge since the GST was introduced. And I certainly couldn't vote then, and I wasn't even alive. So there's this feeling that politics perhaps is stagnating, and the general feeling that this campaign has either run its course already or it's certainly not providing anything too exciting is kind of confirming that.
Yeah, and speaking of the GST and sort of the tax changes back in the 80s and 90s, I've been watching Paul Keating, YouTube videos of Paul Keating back in the day in Parliament, and wow, what a performer, what a political performer he was. But also, too, there was a different, I was alive back then, but I was a kid. There seemed to be something a little bit more, politicians had some conviction. They would put forward an idea, they would debate it. They would stand for something. Whereas, it just seems like now it's like, it's what I don't stand for. It's just, this is what I announce. I don't stand for this. I'm not going to change this. I'm not going to change that. Nothing to fear here. You're in safe hands. And it's kind of like, are we paralyzed by that notion of safety?
An interesting trend that we've also seen is this almost fear to change your mind on something. It's been weaponized a lot against Peter Dutton in this campaign, where he has suggested something and then walked back on it. He's done it again with the EV tax breaks, where he said, we're going to keep them as is. 2 days later, they're saying, no, we're not. So that's been criticized as backflipping. But by and large, even on these rather massive policy platforms and areas, we're seeing less movement. It's too far for them to say, we actually don't think that's a good idea now. Like there's this fear that if you change your mind on anything, then it means that you're untrustworthy. So I think a lot of the debate for Labor, in particular in what the Greens are pushing around their housing reform, negative gearing was something that they took to the 2019 election, but it's something they're not going to touch with a barge pole because they think it's
Electoral poison.
So there's no real self-reflection, I don't think, in this term of government. And even when you look back to John Howard and his approach to the GST, the gun law changes after Port Arthur, he was very solid, whether you liked his policies or not. He was very sure of what he was doing, and he followed through because he believed it was the best. I feel like we're lacking some of that, conviction to do something really different time around.
Yes. You might be on the money there. is there anything that surprised you as far as some of the issues? They have covered things like housing is a big issue, but are there, Medicare or Mediscare, as some of them are calling it, but are there some policy platforms or policy areas that have been neglected this election that you've noticed?
There are so many holes in it already. And I think the danger of them stagnating and not really doing anything is it's actually giving a lot of people time to kind of stop and go, hang on, what are we talking about? From the start, Anthony Albanese, Prime Minister, has been saying that it's about health, it's about the cost of living and these broad economic things and how those are improving. And you can see it in the way they're campaigning, that it's purely, look at all these urgent care clinics, we're going to improve bulk billing, renewable energy, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it at a house level, that will improve the cost of living, universal childcare, easy wins. That's what we're here to do, which a lot of it is valid. But in doing that, they've kind of stopped talking about a lot of other things that they used to be quite keen to talk about. The NDIS and any sort of disability support has been practically ignored by everyone this election. And it's leaving advocates and a lot of people within the disability sector saying, there's no guarantee that we're going to do anything. There's no talk about it. And so it's not even part of the debate. So it's pockets like them. First Nations issues as well have fallen off, especially because the Prime Minister and the Labor Party have been burnt by the Voice referendum. They're just, no one's talking about things that were, you know, the main attractions of the last election, and especially climate change and the environment. That all is getting kind of siphoned into the energy debate. Yeah. And if it falls outside of that, we're just not really talking about it as much.
It's kind of crazy how we've, yeah, how it's shifted so much as far as like the areas up for debate since the last election. Also, too, I think gender was also a massive part of the last campaign, given the former Prime Minister and, I guess, and then the election of many of the Teal candidates. So, yeah, is gender as much of an issue in this election, do you think, as well? Or is that another thing that's sort of been sidelined?
Well, I don't think it's become a policy platform, but I do think it is still a feature of the election. We've just seen today that one of the regional independents that's running west of New South Wales, in the western, central west of New South Wales, around Bathurst, Orange and Lithgow, that her posters have been targeted and vandalised in quite violent ways, where they've put, you know, wooden stakes through her face of a core flute. But they've only taken down the you know, the advertising of the male candidates. So whether or not that's, I mean, if that speaks to, you know, that's attitudes across the country broadly, it's, I hope, you'd hope not.
Yeah, that's quite concerning, that kind of symbolism, that violent symbolism. Like, that shouldn't have any place in our political discourse at all. It kind of it's getting
it's
Trump
fascinating
vibes.
That in that seat there are only two men running out of 10 candidates in a regional seat.
Wow.
So there's certainly a shift towards women are certainly a viable option for any party. There are more, like, at least here in Canberra, I think all the major party candidates here are women, or it's a 19-year-old, oh my, I was going to say almost child, but that's just because he's only just younger than me, but like, there's certainly a more diverse selection that we're seeing at the polling booths, and I do think that women are getting a seat at the table.
Yep.
Whether or not this actually turns into policies that help women, it's, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, we will. We will. Well, thank you so much, Noah, and we look forward to checking back in next week as things, well, hopefully will heat up a little bit more than they are now as we approach the 3rd of May.
Absolutely. Cheers, Latham.
That was Noah Seckham, political reporter with Radio National News, joining us live from Canberra with the latest from the 2025 federal election.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.